Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.
Are you ready?
Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, you can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Let's do a sound check. Major Tom, can you hear us?
Yes, I have you 5x5.
All right. Professor Tom, how are you doing?
I'm here 5x5. Interesting that you played Tchaikovsky today.
That's
Boston
the,
Pops.
Yes.
I forget what year they did that, but it, every year they, when Arthur Fiedler was the conductor, he would play that. On the 4th of July, I think it was.
Well, it goes very well with the works of art in your house right there. Love your background.
Actually, it's a little more Victorian than what you would have seen in Russia. But
really cool.
Someday I need to get a Russian decorum house here for my background, and we'll try that.
Looks great. Everybody, welcome aboard. We're right on time. Welcome. Today is Monday, July 18th, 2022. A real honor to be here with Tom Squared. I'm talking about Professor Tom and Major Tom. Gentlemen, would y'all like to open us up in prayer?
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather together now throughout the airways across the world, we thank you that you are ultimately in charge of this world and all of the universes. Father, we bring before you the evil that has perpetrated itself in attempting to completely destroy that you dearly love beyond any description. Your unconditional love is something that is hard to understand as a frail human being, and yet you do. We thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins, that you cleanse us and bring us into your righteousness, and through the righteousness of your Son, that we might approach you and enter into your kingdom in heaven. And truly, Lord, we pray that as your kingdom is in heaven, and as your will is done in heaven, so too let it be done here on earth. And serve notice to the evil one and those evil that follow him that their time is limited and about to be served up. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody, welcome aboard tonight. A real quick announcement. There is a new bulletin board system. I don't know if any of y'all remember that except for Tom and I. But that's what I call it. Today, you just might call it a new Discord-style server. It's called Gilded, and I've set up an account there. I noticed that Ice Age Farmer had an account there, and I never heard of this platform before. Looks pretty good. And they may have a better free speech platform than Discord did, which was silencing some people. So we set up a new account. It's over on the Gilded Network, and if you go to megamanradio.com, you'll find a link to it. We got two people that signed up already, so just come on over there and join us. And for example, tonight, their PowerPoint for this presentation, I just put it up there in addition to MixLR.
So, what's the URL again?
I don't know exactly because I don't have a custom URL, but if you go to my website, omegamanradio.com, and then scroll down, you're going to see a link to the Gilded chat. And then when you get over there, you just apply for membership, I'll approve it, and bam, we bring you in there. And it's like a Discord channel. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I have gone more to Telegram these days than Discord. Discord's gotten a little strange, I agree with you. And it was always a little strange. I quickly found everybody else was going to Telegram too. And we have a Telegram link on here. And if you go to Major Baird's website, Alive on the Edge, and go to the 2021 files, we will have one. We have a link up there, and you can go there. Eventually, I'll have a Whitestone Foundation one up there, and you can get all the materials we put on the program here.
Speaking
of
which,
be on these platforms.
Go ahead and give out your platforms. How do people find you on the web?
Okay. Start go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead. With
oh, all right. Sure. This is Major Tom Baird, and my website is aliveontheedge.com. So you would do a https://, and then you would put in your aliveontheedge.com, and you'll come right to the website. And there you'll find all of the information that we have here, plus much more, and as well as our published books and so on. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, I have a bunch of them, and I'm not going to list them all, but we just recently put up BibleMusic.live. I'll talk about it in a few minutes. But we've got a little project going, and it may change how a lot of things happen in this world because of the discovery that, you know, I made years and years ago. You can read about it on there. My main website is whitestonefoundation.org. It's not the only one. We got biblecodes.co, not com, but co. And we've also got antichristwatch.org, and we've got ancient-evil.org. It's been something we've researched also, and we put research up there from time to time. We're trying to share as much as we can with the body of Messiah, because the days are getting perilous, and we're going to see that here in a few minutes.
Speaking of sharing, one more thing I want to mention. I will not be sharing any new articles on Facebook until I get 250 shares of Dimitri Dudeman's video that I put up there. Other than
I didn't see it up there.
Oh, yeah. It's the last posting I put on my Facebook wall. And I mentioned that I need 250 people to share this on the wall. If I can't get 250 people, I'm done sharing anything else on Facebook. What's the point? And because hundreds of millions have never heard of this prophecy, and it's as valid today as it was when Gabriel, the archangel, the messenger angel, gave it to Dimitri Dudeman in 1984 in California. And so far, we've only got 6 shares. So that's my point.
Oh, my gosh.
So there we are. There'll be no more postings from me other than the live show stream on Facebook until 250 of you share that on your wall, because if not, what's the point? Okay, my message is done. Gentlemen, go for it. The microphone is yours.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, as we've started doing the last few weeks, because there's been so much news, we've decided that we need to have an update section. So you go to number two, and all these updates are related to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And this first one I'm going to share very quickly is we've just put out a new report that was released by the Tennessee Liberty Network, and it's called Follow the Money: Blood Money and the U.S. Healthcare Financial Incentives. And it goes over how the U.S. government's encouraging hospitals to manufacture a certain diagnosis and offering them incentive money to do so. And it has lots of sources in there, many of them government sources. It's up on Major Baird's website, and you can download it to your heart's content. We don't charge anything on this website, and we never will. But it's up there. Go get it. We got a few other things we'll have up there, too. The biggest news, and I think the news that's really important at this point, is what is Great Britain going to do about their prime minister job? Right now, there's nobody in 10 Downing Street. And I understand they were supposed to have a vote today, but I haven't received the results of that vote. But as of today, there are still five candidates. Two what I would call no-hopers, and three, one of these three is probably going to get it. And in slide five, we'll look at one of them. Her name is Penny Mordaunt. She's present, or she was the Minister of Trade. Remember that Boris Johnson's cabinet all resigned, which caused him to resign as well. But Penny Mordaunt, I mentioned her first because Duran analyst Alexander Mercuris claims she's the front runner. And since he lives in London, he's involved with politics. I have to give him a lot of credence. Her background? She has a BA from the University of Reading. I know it's spelled Reading, but it's pronounced Reading over there. She majored in philosophy. And as for work, well, she was in the Royal Navy. After that, she went into politics. And for about the last 10 years, she's been in the House of Parliament. And the last couple of years, she was Minister for Trade, which was fine when President Trump was in there, but she hasn't really gotten along with the Biden administration. But she was also Secretary of State for Defense in the Theresa May administration, but when Boris Johnson took over, she was, quote, sacked. That's the term they use over there. And he relegated her to what they call the back benches. That means you don't get to sit up there where everybody notices you. You have to sit clear in the back of Parliament where nobody notices you, and you rarely get to participate other than to vote on various bills as they come through. But about a year ago, she became Minister of State for Trade Policy in the Boris Johnson administration. I worry about her because there's no business, no engineering, and really no academic background behind her. Or as Francis Urquhart would say, no backbone and no bottom. the next lady who I think has a big chance of getting in there is Liz Truss. She's UK Foreign Secretary. And as we do with these people, when you have to think of it as they're applying for a job. So what are we going to look for? We want to look at their background, see what they've done, and see where they come from. She has a BA from Merton College in Oxford, and she read, I love how they say it, in Great Britain. In my case, if I were saying it, I would say that I was reading in accounting and finance. It's what I did at Morningside College. Well, she read philosophy, political science, and economics. And after that, she got a job working for Royal Dutch Shell. She was a management accountant, and gee whiz, she counted beans. And she also worked for Cable and Wireless, a British telecom company. These are two rather huge companies. What does she do after that? She goes into Parliament and this is something we're going to see with two out of the three people we're going to cover, is they have big business backgrounds, which means they're more likely to represent their previous employers than they are the people. However, to her credit, she lobbied for a lot of higher educational standards. And she complained that school pupils are being missold easy, low-value subjects to boost school results. And she did insist that that Great Britain have a better mathematical curriculum, complaining that only 20% of British students have more than just a rudimentary mathematical background. Those are good things. Bad thing, when the Russia-Ukraine war started, Truss came out and banged the trash can to defeat Russia. We're going to defeat Russia. We're going to go in there and clean them out. And she vows to do that if she's elected the next leader of Great Britain. Unfortunately, when she was asked to identify where the Donbass was in Ukraine, she pointed to two provinces in Russia. Not really a great start there, Liz. I think I would caution. I think there's maybe more wind than there is sail. The third guy, and I don't want to sound like I'm for him because I'm concerned about him too, is Rishi Sunak. Some might say the people's choice, but I get a little worried about him. He's born in the empire, or not in the empire, his parents were. His father was Kenyan and his mother was Tanzanian. That's a pair. He got his BA at Lincoln College, Oxford, and then he came over here to the United States and got an MBA from Stanford. Pretty good school as far as business schools go. I have a lot of respect for Stanford. One of my professors was from Stanford at the University of South Dakota. And after I left, he left and he went to, or was it Southern Indiana University, and he upgraded that program considerably before he retired. So he's got a little backbone. He's got a little bottom. Then he goes to New York and works for Goldman Sachs for 3 years. Well, as everyone knows, Goldman Sachs is one of the most powerful investment banking companies in the world. Also, they're very left-leaning. Some might remember They were the ones that supported Hillary Clinton in 2016. And in fact, they pretty much assured, she pretty much assured Goldman Sachs that she was a shoo-in to be president. I think they took her with a grain of salt. I know I did. After 2004, he worked for a bunch of hedge funds for about 10 years before he finally entered Parliament. And after 6 years in Parliament, he was Chancellor of the Exchequer. Translate to Americanese, he was Secretary of the Treasury. And he stayed there until a couple of years ago when a lot of people left the Boris Johnson administration. He had a lot of problems, and Johnson wanted to run his job, and he wasn't interested in anybody running his job. The Chancellor of the Exchequer has got to be the most independent cabinet minister of all. He can't have the rest of the politicians trying to tell him where the money goes. But Sunak is Hindu, and he took all of his oaths for office on the Bhagavad Gita, a holy book of Hinduism, which sort of troubles me considering Great Britain is supposed to be an Anglican nation. So we're looking, they were supposed to vote today. They'll vote again, I think, on Wednesday. And then on Friday, the list will probably be knocked down to two. The only thing that'll change it is if somebody gets 51% of the vote. I do not see that coming. Okay.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we might continue to remember is that regardless of which one we have, they come from a pool of 900 people in Parliament. And the candidates that are available, all of which are bought into the same philosophy of economics as well as their religious philosophy, not necessarily that they go to church with, but the religion of the green, because that is actually the religion of the left. Now, they will all, they're all in the same boat, totally anti-Russian. Not that Russia is anything beautiful and pristine. It certainly is not. It's the same as any other country, but they certainly are much more realistic in their economic views as well as their social views at this point in time. They're no longer a communist nation. We are actually more communist, and Great Britain is more communist than Russia is. Now, they will all prod Russia, the whole Western world, to map out further sanctions, to prod and to goad Russia into a confrontation, because they think that they can overcome Russia and parcel Russia out in their own greed of gain, and they're all on that same wavelength. The only problem is they never thought through their actions. They only reacted in a visceral, emotional manner without any wisdom involved, and wholeheartedly, and this includes the EU, NATO, Great Britain, the Five Eyes, following United States' lead in invoking sanctions against Russia, hoping to get a big piece of the pie in the process, only to discover that the Russian economy is well diversified, very sophisticated, well financially based on the gold standard, as well as following supply side economic philosophy as opposed to Keynesian economic philosophy. And you got to remember, Keynesian economic philosophy comes out of Great Britain and is in support of socialism. It was never examined to see if it mirrored the actual world processes of the economy, of any nation's economy, let alone the world's economy. Therefore, it's never been proven, and in fact, it's been found to be very misleading, full of errors. There's not one thing, actually, that I know of that it actually formally can predict, and predict it accurately as a action in conjunction with the reaction to the primary action. Whereas supply-side economics, you can track reality, and it will, in fact, follow through. Sorry that I interrupted there, Tom. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. In fact, it's a good point. One of the big troubles with how the Europeans worked this out is they did not understand. They did not understand that if you don't have energy, you don't have industry, you don't have heat for people's homes, and basically people are going to have to burn firewood in their backyard.
And you don't have food either, because exactly, and you don't have food because you don't have the fertilizer to grow it. Yeah.
And
it's a wow.
You know, it's unimaginable what has happened in Europe. But the trouble is, you have the seven royal families very anxious to regain their power. Mm-hmm. And they don't mind if they have to tear the EU into pieces and redraw it to suit themselves. They've wanted to do that for a long time. And now we're seeing them doing it. We're seeing what's been written up in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation be fulfilled before our eyes.
Yeah, and it's a result of their... Yes. Go ahead.
And if John Mark and Daniel were here today, they would say, well, this is what I saw. This is what I saw in my vision.
Mm-hmm. And what we're alluding to is the very fact that from their very mouths, their implementation of sanctions against Russia have in fact become sanctions against themselves.
Exactly.
Everything that's happening to them, they are the authors of it, and they don't know how to blame anybody else, because they are, in fact, so deeply ingrained in it, and it's hinged to the Ukraine conflict. And as the Ukraine conflict terminates, so terminates their hopes for a future, because their premise is on a narrative that's made up of false lies, as we said before in previous episodes, that have no bearing on reality. Therefore, when the actual reality of a total collapse and defeat occurs, they already cannot explain to their population why they're without food, without energy, without manufacturing, and
without jobs.
And without jobs, and the country that they were told was going to vanquish Russia is in fact vanquished, and everyone else involved in the sanctions levying is really vanquished by their own words, by their own actions. And they're the ones to blame. And we're going to be seeing, well, the upset of Boris Johnson as a result of that, along with the other countries that we'll cover later on here in the update, that have already begun to collapse. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, and now to see what the people think about it. We've seen here that there are farmer strikes, and it's pretty much gotten all over Europe now. In fact, mm-hmm. I've sort of lost count. Even Argentina has drawn in, joined the protests, because mm-hmm. these farmers cannot survive when they're paying 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 bucks a gallon for fuel. And it's, but not only that, some of the Green Party governmental regulations that have been put through have just literally gone over the top. And now interstate highways and Europe, or Autobahns, or whatever you call them in Holland, mm-hmm. they're plugged. Mm-hmm. I have a video here that I've put up here, and you can watch that. But maybe the most insane thing is just a few weeks ago, we talked about what the government, Dutch government, did when the tulip bulb market crashed. The government went around and started destroying tulips. And suddenly my painting has returned. Because guess what? The Netherlands government has been ordering farmers to cull their herds to curb greenhouse gas emissions. I'm sorry, but cows pass gas. And you have no control over it. My dear mother used to say that there is no such thing as a housebroken cow.
That's true.
And, but to tell, as we saw in this article in the Epoch Times, also Zero Hedge repeated it too, and it might be easier to read it there. But this Dutch dairy farmer was told to cull 95% of his herd. And it wasn't like he has an enormous number of cows. I think something like 40, which is basically about as many cows as a family can handle efficiently.
Well, when that was the size of our family farm, dairy farm. And you have to remember, with a herd of 40 milking cows, you must have at least 120 replacement stock at all time.
So, you know, if they told you that you have to sell or kill 95% of your cattle, are you going to make any money?
And look at your recovery time besides. It's at least 4 years.
Yes, at least. You're not just going to suddenly go to the sale barn and buy 50 new cows or something. It's very hard to find that many cows.
Especially when everybody's being culled.
Yes. But again, we have this crazy lady. Her name is Christiane van der Waal. She's the Minister of Nature and Nitrogen Policy. Now, that is an interesting cabinet position. She's already said, we're not ruling out expropriating land or just stealing it. Let's just say it what it is. It's stealing land from uncooperative farmers. As I say, it seems like it gets worse. But here in the United States, don't get this idea that it can't happen here. I put up on Major Baird's website a Supreme Court case from 1942, Wickard versus Filburn. And the case was a farmer. He dedicated a certain amount of land to just growing crops for his family, nothing else. Everybody has a family garden. But the Supreme Court ruled that because there was a risk that these garden products would wander into interstate commerce, that suddenly it's under the control of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And therefore, the U.S. Department of Agriculture can tell you what to grow and how much land you have to lay fallow. And they have a lot of different rules. And so this man was forced to follow all these rules. Yes, I understand it was during wartime. But I think Victory Gardens, as we studied a few weeks ago, proved that we didn't need all this regulation. But that's what Roosevelt was like. He believed that the government should run everything. And we see that kind of a thought from the Biden administration. The reason I say the Biden administration, I'm sorry, but Brandon is just, I don't think he's capable of running anything. I won't say it any further. And as I said, we've seen the fire departments joining the farmers. A lot of other people are joining the farmers because they know where their food's coming from. But there's been other news as well. Sri Lanka has been in the news. They have incredible riots there. But what they don't tell is the story of what happened in Sri Lanka to get them in this position. Historically, they were very self-sufficient. They could grow the food they needed to eat, and everything was good. But then the British came in the 18th century. They looked at the ground and said, my gosh, this is great, great ground to plant tea in. So they said, don't worry, we'll start bringing in your food for you as long as you can grow us a lot of tea and we can spread that around the world. So they literally, these poor people were talked into growing tea in exchange for the fact that the British government would bring them food. Well, come 1948, the British government leaves. They're part of India for, what, 20 years, 25 years, and then they become their own country. And they still think that their old masters, the British, will continue to bring them food in exchange for their tea. Well, what happened? The British economy started not doing so well, and so suddenly they didn't pay as much for tea as they once did. But the cost to grow that tea continued to increase. And when you increase the cost of that tea, suddenly they're having to get loans. And those loans ended up in the hand of the world bankers.
Mm-hmm.
And now suddenly they have no credit.
Yep. And they did, the bankers did that very greedily, following a diplomacy, well, a national diplomacy from their own nations. You know, every nation has its own central bank. Ours happens to be called the Fed, but it, in truth, is actually a central bank. And these bankers then, the nations behind the bankers, it's hard to tell which one's behind which, practiced this debt trap diplomacy, so that they have trapped all of the economy of Sri Lanka in debt, and they're now it's being called, and everybody's losing their land, they're losing their ability to even raise anything to eat, and very little of that land is available for that anyway. And so they just simply have stripped that nation of its livelihood and probably a great deal of the lives of the people there will be lost.
It's starting to look like the Five Eyes were behind a lot of these riots.
That's exactly right. Yep.
And so we have two forces on each side. And you have to understand, in the Five Eyes, there are factions. There's a conservative and a liberal side to each one of these groups. And I'm sure it's the conservative side that would like to again get in control. And maybe what's going to happen is they'll promise the people, we'll give you food again, but you got to be our slaves. Almost like what Joseph did when we studied him a few weeks ago. Yeah, I'll feed you, but you're going to have to work for me. This isn't a free lunch. So we're seeing these poor people squeezed. And that's where it's going. All these royal houses now can take these desperate people and give them promises, and they'll take those promises because they're starving. And there's other trouble in the world, too. Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi resigned, which really wasn't surprising. It was just his party was barely in there. And they had to work with a coalition of other parties. And when one party decides they're not going to support you anymore, out you go. The interesting thing is, even though he resigned, the Italian parliament didn't accept his resignation, so he's still in there, technically.
Just like Boris Johnson, to some extent.
Yeah. And French President Emmanuel Macron continues to be in trouble. He's literally got a hostile parliament, and he's stuck dealing with that hostile parliament for another 4 years. They're trying to get him to resign, and I don't think he wants to resign just after he won an election.
No, unfortunately, he may be physically forced out.
Yes. And you go to Germany, the Scholz administration, Olaf Scholz is really in trouble. And a lot of analysts think that his government will be turned out very, very soon. Mm-hmm. And you go to the United States, the longer it goes, the more in trouble Joe Biden gets. All of his son's videos are now making the waves of the internet. And I guess those people who like to look at that kind of stuff are having a field day. People like me, I'm sorry, it just looks bad and it's disgusting, and I don't need to see it to be disgusted by it. And obviously, the Democrats are mulling over, what are we going to do? Because we're going to lose this fall. It's only a matter of how much we're going to lose. If they lose 100 seats, everything is over with for them.
Gentlemen, who do you think is actually calling the shots? We know that Biden didn't call anything. He just read off a cue card. Poor guy. I don't know if that even knows his family members by their first name anymore. Is it Obama? Is it
actually Susan Rice?
Susan Rice, who actually ran Obama as well.
Wow. I remember her.
And yes.
Mm-hmm.
But see, she's realizing she's going to stay in there in her position. Whereas she's a de facto president, even though she's not.
Is she even on the staff?
But she knows.
Somewhere?
Excuse me?
Is she in an official position on his staff or anything?
Nope.
I haven't heard mention of her in a long time.
No.
Nope, she's not. That's the beauty of it. She's
insulated.
Yeah, there's the word, insulated.
Well, she's got to be working with Obama, right? He's on the crew too, isn't he?
Oh, yes. Yes,
yeah,
he is.
Probably the go-between.
Obama's probably talking to the handlers of Biden, but Susan Rice is the brains behind all of this, and her particular evil philosophy is the one that you're seeing.
Now,
she literally believes what's going on is right.
Would you classify them as Marxist, communist?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
In league with the World
Hardcore.
Economic Forum. In fact, do you think actually we've already been sold out to the Communist Chinese Party?
And that's a possibility. I just can't see enough evidence of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's still too many things that we're doing that don't even make sense to the Chinese, like taking our Navy and putting it right at China's door, asking them to attack.
I heard that there was a Chinese businessman that recently bought up 130,000 acres in Texas.
Oh, they've been buying up land for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Al Cuppet when he came to Iowa. We went out to Camp Dodge and he saw Chinese troops there.
I mean, with the
deals, they were in uniform.
We've got that base you're talking about. I know Singapore. Terry Cook said they've got a Air Force base with Singapore fighter jets. They're not far removed from China. And we have all this land being bought up by the globalists. What deals did Hunter Biden cut on behalf of his dad with China? What about Newsom?
We're just finding that.
What about Dianne Feinstein, who had a chauffeur that was a spy and worked for 20 years? What about Feng Feng, the Chinese spy who was sleeping with Swalwell out in California? I think that China has their meat hooks deep in to many of the governors, many of our congressmen, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And are they, in fact, calling the shots?
Well, not quite.
Not yet. They're trying to get positioned that way. In fact, I heard I can't remember my source right now. Goodness sakes. A comment that an individual had in his personal time with the Lord, he was asking the Lord, what are you going to do when the foreign countries come in and begin to destroy the United States? And he said, his response, and I'm just paraphrasing this, is, I will take charge of the United States at that point. And that's consistent with the vision that I actually saw after the Lord had given me the vision of the banyan tree, the main trunk being chopped off with only an axe head. There was no handle on it and there was no hand, just an axe head. Chopped the main trunk off, and there were 50 shoots holding the branches up of the tree, and it remained that way, suspended and held up by those 50 other shoots that came out, as a banyan tree does that in the swamp. Now, as soon as I saw that and I awoke, it was a sleeping dream with a vision. I don't know how to explain a vision within a dream. And I came to and I said, Lord, please. And I knew in my heart of hearts that it was United States, but I said, please don't let this be United States. Can it just be United Kingdom? And the Lord very firmly said, no. Your country, United States, is the nation. And as soon as he said that, I was wide awake by that point in time, and the entire room in which I was located disappeared, and I was viewing out across the Atlantic Ocean to the east with high cumulus clouds on the horizon from one end of north to the south, far out in the ocean. And on top of those cumulus clouds came the mighty host of heaven with Christ leading. The same picture that you get in Revelation was the same thing that I saw with Christ coming with his forces from heaven, all the angels and the horses. Amen. And he then connected the two and said, I will be in charge. And so we're going to become not just a theocracy, but a nation run by the living God himself, as he also rules all the other nations in the world, as he reigns across the entire world. But United States will be under him at that point.
How is this going to happen if America is to be destroyed per Dmitry Duderman's vision?
The initial thing will be the destruction.
What will be left?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there will be
the remnant.
There will be people
the
left,
remnant.
And there'll be a remnant.
Yeah.
Because
there's always a remnant.
I even saw an attorney in Alaska who has already started the process up there of creating laws for a nation of Alaska.
Well, I hear that, but doesn't Revelation talk about when America burns, the merchants will be weeping offshore because they'll never do business with it again, and mm-hmm. it'll be, you know, a cage.
Well, Alaska's yes. a long ways that, from New York City.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, that particular chapter, actually there's two chapters that explain that, and what you're seeing is the version of United States that is now still under the reign of mankind. When Christ begins to become the king over United States, it will not be initiated by mankind. It will be God-centered, not man-centered. You're seeing all of those individuals, all those men that are in the deep state, everything else that you see right now, they are actually participating in being God. They think they are more intelligent than God. And that's why we have all this problem we have right now, because we don't have God in our government. For one thing, we have little gods that think they are God, which is what Satan is, and they're following their leader to the T. And that's
like
why we have such stuff going on.
Sounds like the World Economic Forum over there. You know, what I haven't been able to reconcile, though, is the World Economic Forum really where the Antichrist may come up out of?
No.
Would it be that against...
I'm thinking more and more, no.
Well, what I'm saying is clearly the Great Reset is being pushed by the World Economic Forum at Klaus Schwab.
Of course it is.
Now,
but
yes,
the trouble
yes.
is it's not going to work out the way he says it.
He still
has this crazy idea that a reset is the same thing you do to your computer when it won't work anymore, and so you just start it over and it'll run again.
I realize that, but members of most nations, including America, including Indonesia, and others, have their people that go up there that make up that 3,000-member membership. And, of course, I don't know that Russia and China are with them, or are they?
Well, no. You got to understand what Putin was doing there. You remember, he was once a KGB agent. He's actually worked in America. He actually went there as a spy. It was old home week for him. he got to put on his KGB uniform, per se, and be a KGB agent. See what their plans are, bring them back, and they will counter them. Because Russia has understood one thing from history, that the rest of the Europe has always been trying to screw them. Great Britain tried screwing them in the 19th century with the Crimean War. France mm-hmm. tried. Hitler tried. They just don't have a good experience with the rest of Europe.
Do you think the WEF is really primarily EU nations? It's the
right now. That's EU's the only ones that are paying attention to them. I think mm-hmm. even your Indonesian leaders are going to start getting frustrated with them.
I don't know. When they seem to be doubling down over here. Now, you've heard, of course, in the last couple of days, they say COVID has flared up again. And
I've California, been hearing that for weeks.
California is threatening to put the mask mandate out again. Other countries are saying that it's flared up again. Are we getting ready to see COVID-20?
I rather doubt it, because the thing with the mask mandate, it's like putting up a chain link fence to protect yourself from mosquitoes.
Well, we know that, but they're using it to take our liberties and lock people down.
And well, there's a lot of people seeing the farmers right now. They're not putting up with it.
Yeah, the population right now is seen through this facade, and they're not about to follow through in obedience like they did the first time. Enough is enough.
I'm not so
and
sure.
And also, it's harder yeah, for the Democratic administration to pull these things off as it was for President Trump.
Well, what's to stop Newsom? He just got reelected, and he has that power to shut down California again.
He's got other things in mind. He's actually got other plans in mind for his career. You know, the Democrats realize they're coming this fall, and it's not going to look good for them. So they've got to do something to change who's in management. First thing they got to do is they got to get rid of Kamala Harris. Right now, she's been sitting in the Naval Observatory playing video games. She's not been outside doing very much, because every time she does, she sticks her foot in her mouth.
Smoking weed and playing mm-hmm. solitaire on the computer, probably.
And so, and as Robert Barnes said, she was one of the worst attorneys he ever faced in a courtroom. And the other thing is, she failed the bar exam in California the first time she took it.
Well,
you know, she's a little bit of a liability there now.
Her, like Biden, so, are just easy to control. They're just the puppets.
Yeah.
Well, if they're wise, they'll follow the pattern that they have already done, and that is to first get rid of the vice president. Then you get rid of the president. Then you have a slate where you can put the people in that you want.
Which is what they did with Gerald Ford.
I'm hearing they're going to run Newsom and maybe Buttigieg.
Well, the big thing is Gavin Newsom has already quietly said he's interested in taking Kamala Harris's place.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine
America under Newsom? He would just shut down all of America. Yeah. We think we got it bad now? You see what he did to California? What would stop
you? I don't see that's going to go very far, because he's made enemies with the Republican Party, both in California and around the country. But he's also made enemies with several Democrats.
Well, he always seems to get out of it, whatever rule he breaks.
But the other big thing is Newsom is no friend of Kamala Harris. In fact, now they're starting to say that it was Kamala who was behind the recall effort last year.
Mm-hmm. So Hillary Clinton seems to be chomping at the bit to give it one more shot. Do you think Trump's going to run? He said he's already made his decision, yet to be announced. Do you think it'll be a Trump-Newsom runoff?
No. I rather doubt it. One, Newsom's sticks his foot in his mouth a little bit too often, and you can get by that as by with that if you're a state governor, but you can't at the national level. There are just too many people there. I think what's likely to happen, one, they're going to get Kamala out, but before they can get somebody in, because Congress is so divided, nobody's going to be approved, then they will go after Biden. And that means we have a Speaker of the House.
Well, oh my goodness.
And but by the time that happens, it won't be Nancy Pelosi. It'll be someone of the Republicans choosing.
Very interesting, and I think that's feasible. Gentlemen, we're
about
out of time.
Here's a second. Okay, I've got one more. It's a quick one.
Yes.
The other thing is that in the fall term, there could be a couple, three cases come to the Supreme Court regarding the election in 2020. And the Supreme Court could very well overturn the 2020 election and place Donald Trump back into the White House.
What a coup that would be.
Well, it was a coup when the election turned him out.
Well, we know that, yes. He won. I believe that. I voted for him. But I'm saying, you know, that would be shocking to see that happen. Wow.
Well,
exciting.
I don't think that's I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. That'd be like a Christmas gift again. Like Roe versus Wade.
Well, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that's, I would call it a Christmas gift, but I do think he would start up energy production in this country.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd take him any day over Biden. I mean, even with the COVID that he did, which he's got blood on his hands for. Gentlemen, give out your contact information. Any final thoughts?
Well, go ahead, Tom.
Okay. One thing that we have to remember is that, yes, United States will be completely overturned from what it is now. Those that you see in power, you will look for them and you will not find them, as it says in the scriptures. Follow the Lord. Pray hard for his righteousness, justice, and love, not only to be in your own life, in your own family's life, but in all of our nation's lives. For it is time. You can reach me. Again, you can find this information and other things, George Washington's vision of Valley Forge, where he saw these actual things happening as well as in our time. And he saw the angels coming shoulder to shoulder with those few remnant left after the destruction to vanquish the enemy at that point in time. Because it would be a supernatural enemy in addition to the natural forces of soldiers as well. And my site is https://aliveontheedge.com.
Okay.
And the book that I'm referring to that has this some of this information in, and as well as my website, is The Sharp Edge of the Sword, where the Lord gave the visions and information accurately, because part of the prophetic visions have already occurred, and they occurred exactly in detail as they were shown. I don't expect it to be any different. The signature that accompanied the visions is the same for either one. Go ahead.
Yes. And I would also, we've put up BibleMusic.live.
Yes.
And it's part of an experiment we're doing. It's not more of an experiment. We started putting Isaiah 9:8-13:22 out into the atmosphere a week ago. Suddenly rains appeared all over the drought-ridden areas east of me. It didn't get down into Texas. I don't know. Somebody may have to help me with that. But you can reach me at tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. If you got some scripture you might like to see to music, let me know. And, well, Shannon, thank you for having us on again.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yes. What would you like to title this for the archive today?
Current events.
Okay.
Current events as of the 18th of July.
18 July 2022.
Sounds great. By the way, one thing that we did forget to, well, we didn't get to it actually, is that Iran announced they have everything together technically to make an atomic bomb right now, which means that they are admitting to being a threshold nation for nuclear weapons, which is one step short of having the bomb. You know, what you need to know is every time they announce something, they already are one to two steps further down the pike, which means they have not only the 60% enriched uranium, but they probably have the plutonium, and they probably have the 90% military grade enrichment of uranium, and they have made at least 5 atomic bombs.
Oh, hell, if North Korea's got it, I think they've had it for some time. And they also got the throw weight. Look at those missiles, those Shababs that they created a few years ago. Shoot, are you kidding me? I think that they've had it for some time. And
Well, the ominous thing about that is up until 11 o'clock Eastern time yesterday morning, Eastern time, when that announcement was made across the world, Israel was able to plausibly deny that they knew that they had the bomb. Okay. Now it's out, and they are mandated by a trigger legislation that occurred, and I don't know when they passed it, but it was some time ago, I think several years ago, that once it is known that they are a threshold nuclear nation, the IDF is mandated to take action.
You know, that's an excellent point.
Mandated.
Because we know Iran has been threatening Israel for a very long time that they would take out Tel Aviv. So I think you're right. Israel's going to probably have to do a preemptive strike now, won't they?
That is correct.
Yep.
Yep, it's going to get hot over there. Oh, my goodness. Real quick, because Israel can't sit and absorb the first hit. There'll be nothing left.
That's correct.
They'll have to cut the head off of Iran, and it's going to get nasty. Israel's got to protect itself. I would do the same in their shoes, especially when they've been threatened for a long time that Iran was going to destroy them. And I believe Iran, they're mad enough over there. I mean, I'm talking insane, like mad, like rabid dogs, that their leadership, that they would probably strike Israel and think that they could win a war with them. So it's going to be something to watch now.
It's going to get interesting.
Oh, yeah. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on today. God richly bless both of you.
Thank you for
having
us.
And the Lord bless you. Thank you.
See you next time. Thank you, Brother Tom. Okay, we're going to get Brother Ruben Palomares on. We're dialing now. Here we go.